But as we continued to grow, there was this idea of, well, we can do more in our communities. And we realized that the communities are what takes care of us. So we have four philanthropies. Each one of them is associated with an organization that we believe in. We did a lot of blind taste tests to figure out how we were going to come up with the right combination of products and flavor profiles. I've wondered that myself, and I don't know how to answer that. Honestly, at the end of the day, tossing the pizza dough in the air looks cool. It's fun.
This is the ProCo 360 podcast for people who love Colorado and love hearing from Colorado's great entrepreneurs, entrepreneurs who have something special going, something that drives my curiosity. I'm Dave Tabor, host of ProCo 360. I'm a former tech entrepreneur, and I love having these conversations and sharing them with you. Today's guest is Kyle Peters, not tech. He's co-owner of Sexy Pizza. I was intrigued and happy to do this episode because the pizza business fascinates me in so many ways, like what it takes to make a great pizza, how do local pizza joints become popular and how do they differentiate, and how come big national chains can sell pizzas for $4.99? I have so many questions. Kyle, I'm glad you're here. I am fascinated by pizza, the pizza business. I don't know why, but it is. So tell us about Sexy Pizza, and then I'm going to dig in with a bunch of questions.
Sexy Pizza. Sexy Pizza's a Denver local brand. We've got four locations here in Denver. Have been in Denver since 2008. We love making pizza. We love a fun brand. Everyone always asks us, what's so sexy about Sexy Pizza? And I say, come try the pizza. You'll find out.
Yeah. I mean, it's a fun name and it is intriguing. And so good for you for picking. Did you just pick it out of the air thinking it was fun?
I didn't come up with it. One of the original owners, it was their idea, the branding, the name and whatnot. So I can't take credit for it, but it is a wonderful name.
It is. And it's just kind of goofy. Listeners, if you haven't seen the logo or you haven't seen a Sexy Pizza, it's kind of a whimsical, just it's like, we don't care. It's fun. Kind of a brand.
Exactly. Exactly. Right.
Now, most businesses when I talk to, especially the ones I have on ProCo 360, I'm fascinated because they're solving a problem. And it's like they're driving consumers to them because they're solving a problem. And yet, like, you guys make pizza and you have pizza restaurants. Are you solving a problem in some way, or what? Why in the world was Sexy Pizza needed?
Well, I would say we're solving a problem of people being hungry and needing pizza, right? Sometimes you need it delivered to your house, so we can serve that purpose.
Yeah.
Sometimes you want to, stop through and grab a quick slice. We can also do that. Pick up a whole pizza, feed the family, catering events, all of these different aspects. So in that respect, I suppose we're solving problems.
Yeah, but this is what I want to poke around a little bit because, yeah, you're solving a problem. There are already pizza joints in the neighborhoods before you started Sexy Pizza. Like, why was Sexy Pizza founded? Why did you need it? What customer demand were you meeting that wasn't already being met?
Well, Sexy Pizza was started our original location at 11th and Ogden in Capitol Hill. Friends that were working together for the Safer Organization to help decriminalize cannabis came together, had this idea about pizza, and then it turned into reality. And so there was already a pizza place there. They took over an existing pizza place and then started to test different recipes and get their systems down. I was able to help with that in the very beginning as well. And so from there, transitioned into rebranding it Sexy Pizza and started serving slices to the Cap Hill community.
And there's a joke inherent in this, right? People who are trying to legalize cannabis creating a pizza joint.
I mean, we've heard it all. And yeah. we embrace it. We embraced it. We still embrace it, right? That seems so long ago now, but it's still a real thing here in Denver.
Well, okay. I got to ask this question again, because maybe there's no answer. Maybe there's just an infinite amount of demand for pizza. But I mean, when you started, when you helped create this first Sexy Pizza, like, you could already get pizza nearby, right? So what was different, or what made your group decide, like, we need to start a pizza joint?
The idea of doing something fun and different, bringing a different style of pizza, and that you know, again, Sexy Pizza being a fun name, right?
Yeah.
And just allowing people to come together in the community and have a place where they can come and grab a slice and hang out and relax.
You know, that does seem like a different approach, because Sexy Pizza, from what I read on the website, is all about sort of this community engagement, which I think is different. I mean, pizza joints all have the ability for people to come in, sit down, grab a slice, whatever, but it seems like the sort of the culture or the ethos was to do that, right?
Absolutely. You know, in the beginning, it was about understanding the systems and the recipes and getting things down to make a good quality product and provide great customer service. But as we continue to grow, there was this idea of, well, we can do more in our communities. And we realized that the communities are what takes care of us. You know, I say to my team members, you know, it might be, you know, my signature on the paycheck, but I'm certainly not the one who's paying, you know, your paycheck. It's our customers. It's our communities that are doing that. So I guess it just makes sense to me, to us, to give back to our communities and do this for the people that take care of us.
Yeah. I mean, I was really impressed as I'm looking at your menu. And by the way, I did go with Jen, Philosophy Communications. We decided we wanted to go check because her client's Baccio cheese, and you may talk about them a little later, but that we wanted to taste this product on your pizza, and then this evolved in a funny way into an interview with you and whatever. So, which I'm glad for. And the pizza is great, right?
Thank you.
I want to talk a lot about how you, well, I'm just going to ask you right now, how do you make a great pizza? Because it sounds like you guys really worked hard at it.
Lots of trial and error. Lots of R&D, but I think it's just taking quality ingredients and spending the time necessary to perfect them. We did a lot of blind taste tests to figure out how we were going to come up with the, you know, right combination of products and flavor profiles and all of that. So, I mean, I think it's just spending time and, you know, perfecting your craft.
Everybody, this is intriguing to me too, about talking to the guy that co-owns four pizza joints that make very good pizza. And that's that, like, every pizza joint has its, you know, its fans. I shouldn't say every, some don't, but, but, you know, the idea of creating this perfect recipe or this perfect crust or the this or the that, I mean, how hard is that really? And can I taste the difference between yours and the other guy?
I think so. There's always these different subtleties. People make it pizza dough in different ways. There's different styles of pizzas, right? There's a New York style pizza. There's your Detroit style pizza, your Chicago style pizza. And all these, you know, the common core ingredients are all very similar. Dough, sauce, cheese, toppings. But do the toppings go on top? Do they go on the bottom, underneath the cheese? The different layers of which you can build that. You know, ours is a hand-tossed deck oven style pizza. Some might consider it more of a New York style, but you know, we hand-toss all of our dough. We make our dough fresh every day.
Does it matter that you hand-toss it? What's the, I mean, it looks cool, but why does it matter?
There's different types of dough that you can, you can't hand toss, right? So we don't have to hand toss it all the time, but it certainly is fun to do.
Yeah.
and it can be a much quicker way of getting that pizza tossed out, especially when you're doing a large 18-inch size dough.
Really? So the idea of tossing it in the air, does it make it taste different? Does it feel different when you eat it? Is it, what does it do?
I don't know that it tastes different necessarily. Yeah. I mean, that's from the core of making your dough the appropriate way, the way you want to. There's different proofing methods and timeframes of that, moisture ratios, and we can get into the science behind all of it. But without doing that, honestly, at the end of the day, tossing the pizza dough in the air looks cool. It's fun. And it's attractive to customers as well, right?
Well, and it basically it is. It makes it, creates an experience, right?
Absolutely.
So I want to go back to the community aspect of your business, because you actually, in your menu, have cool names for different pizzas, but after each one, there's a charity where a portion of the proceeds go. Talk about that.
So we have, to go back to the beginning stages, working with the Safer organization, that's where our first donation pie was born out of. We coined the term philanthropie. So we have four philanthropies. Each one of them is associated with an organization that we believe in. These organizations have, we've we've rotated through different organizations throughout the years. We currently have four with our Hawaiian pizza, our spinach white pizza, the Sexy Chic, and the Safer pizza as well, which we still kind of have as an ode to, you know, the original one, right?
That's cool. So, I mean, do people buy pizzas because of where the charity is being supported?
Oh, absolutely.
Really? Do they tell you that we want this one because?
Definitely. Not all the time. And sometimes they just want the spinach white because they love a white pizza with spinach added on, right? Sometimes they want the pepperoni jalapeno cream cheese pizza, which is our most popular.
That sounds way decadent. Really?
It's our most popular specialty.
My wife will not let me eat that. I'm telling you right now. Yeah.
The cream cheese cuts the spiciness of the fresh jalapenos a little bit too. So it's pretty delicious. But no, people do. They're attracted to that. And not always, but it's a good opportunity to showcase these hyper-local organizations that do this great work in our communities.
Yeah.
We don't have the resources nor the knowledge to do what they're doing, but we certainly have an opportunity to support them in the work that they're doing that we believe in. I think that's the most important part.
Yeah. So how much, realistically, how much of a pizza goes to that organization?
It depends on a different level. We do so much donation work, so much fundraising. We do fundraisers, not just for the philanthropies on those organizations, but we support local youth groups, your school clubs.
I noticed on your website, there's a big button, ask for a donation.
Absolutely. It just goes to a Google form. You can fill it out. We do in-kind donations, monetary donations, fundraisers where we give a percentage of our total sales from that day, not just if you mention the buzzword, it's you know, fundraiser day, but the, you know, so that way everyone can contribute.
That's cool. So just because I like some transparency around this, if I order one of these $30 pizzas roughly, and it's got some of the money's going to charity, are we talking about a couple of pennies?
We have, well, again, it depends. Like on fundraiser days, again, it's 15% of our
really?
Total sales from that day.
Wow.
So I mean, it
that's
depends.
That's a lot. That's substantial.
And then we donate gift cards for silent auctions. And again, fill out the donation link form. And it depends on what level, right?
Yeah. Do you ever lose customers because they don't agree with the work of your organizations or anything? You ever hear anything but positive?
Mostly positive.
Yeah.
Yes, of course, every once in a while, people might not agree with what we believe in, what we're trying to support. But we, again, focus on the people that support us, we stand up for what we believe in, and we want to support those who are also standing up for what they believe in.
Cool. I'm going to take a break, and after that, I want to talk more about the business of pizza. But first, this is ProCo 360, named Best Colorado Business Podcast since 2021. I'm your host, Dave Tabor, and this is the podcast for people who love Colorado and the stories of Colorado businesses and entrepreneurs. My guest today is Kyle Peters. He's co-owner of Sexy Pizza. Thanks to our sponsors, Via Technologies. Hey, thanks, Via Technologies, for hosting ProCo 360 and the great help your team gives me around managing the website. For those of you who don't know Via Technologies yet, they attract super smart companies as clients, and then they work with them. They collaborate to grow their business using digital media and advertising. Also, Denver Ventures. You may know them as Denver Angels in the past. We partner with Denver Ventures to feature great Colorado companies, some great companies and great episodes in the past. You'll find on ProCo 360, and you'll see Denver Ventures logos on those past episodes. So back to the business of the pizza, basically having a pizza joint. I have so many questions. First of all, I want to talk some about margins, because it seems like over the past 5 years, the price of like a pizza from like a Sexy Pizza has grown from maybe $17 to now, like I saw some on your website, one that was $34.99. So what is all that about?
Rising costs here in Colorado, but especially here in the Denver Front Range. But I also want to encourage you and everyone listening to remember that $35 you're talking about is for a large 18-inch pizza.
And it is big, yes.
And it feeds at least, you know, 3-4 people. So if you break that down and do the math and compare that to what you're spending going out to eat elsewhere, maybe it's not so expensive.
Fair comparison, and I'm glad you pushed back. Thank you for that. And I also want to ask you, because I was just watching football last weekend, and a national chain was advertising two large pizzas. Now, of course, they're not as big as yours, but they're for $4.99 each. Okay, so clearly, I mean, we're smart enough listeners to know that there's a difference between a $4.99 pizza and a $35 pizza, and yet, that's a huge difference. What do you, when you see that, what do you think to yourself?
There's no way we could sell a pizza for $4.99. No, but I think that it's a different in difference in quality. It's a difference in what they're doing, business model. And I think you started that by saying it's a different size. You can say large all day long, but there's a vast difference between an 18-inch large pizza and a 14 or 16-inch large pizza. Well, I also think that you got to remember where you're putting your money to. Local businesses supporting those individuals that live and breathe in those communities. Also, I encourage everyone to look at, you know, the benefits that are being offered. We offer amazing benefits: health, dental, vision, mental health services, matching 401k, paid time off on top of Colorado's mandated paid sick leave. So all these additional benefits also cost money. I think a good way to put it in perspective is taking care of our team is sexy.
That is a great way of putting it. And you know what? You know, to be fair, I wanted to put you on the spot with this question. And yet, to be fair back, like, my wife won't let me eat that crap. So, you know, really. And the idea that, okay, a few dollars more is going because I'm creating a wholesome work environment, that I'm creating an opportunity where the people who are serving me are actually being able to get the kinds of benefits you described. Like, I'm all for that. But I think it's important, just like you were transparent. Like, yeah, I can't do what I do. I can't treat my employees the way I treat them. I can't give my customers a good quality pizza at $4.99. It just doesn't happen.
Exactly. There's just no possible way to be able to do that and provide the quality and that service in that respect.
And I saw, too, I looked at your job postings, and basically a frontline starting employee gets somewhere between $19.50 and $20.50 an hour, right?
And that'd be entry level with zero experience.
So talk about that. How do you manage that? I mean, that's a lot.
Well, I think it comes back to the benefits that we do offer, and not just paying appropriately. Tips definitely come into that. You know, if you're tipping your servers, your bartenders, your pizza delivery drivers, the people that are making your pizza for you, you know, that helps. But starting off at the appropriate base wage and offering these benefits that you might find in, you know, the corporate world or in a white collar job, that growing up in the restaurant industry like I did, it wasn't something that I had access to.
Yeah.
And so I thought it was very important. We think it's very important to ensure that our team has access to those type of benefits.
That's cool. And what does that do for the kind of employee you get, the longevity you get, that kind of thing?
We, compared to the industry turnover rate, ours is very low. It's a pizza business. So it's a restaurant business. So there's still naturally going to be some turnover. You know, we have younger individuals. They might be using it as a part-time job, a second job, going to school, all these things. But at the end of the day, we have some very, you know, tenured employees, some long-term employees who've been with us for quite a long time. And I don't mean just at the management level. Although we have managers that started as delivery drivers. My area manager started as a delivery driver.
Really?
And is now our area manager. So promoting within, creating that sense of culture, you know, that community, not just with, you know, the communities that we live and breathe in, but within our own workplace.
Yeah, this is such an interesting thought for me because, you know, I think we all want to be surrounded by hardworking people who can make it. And yet the temptation is always to buy cheap. And, you know, you're fighting that and with, you know, with pride. I think that's cool.
I appreciate that. I think it's always good to, again, stand up for what you believe in, right? I think that's, and stand up for those that are, you know, that are there in your communities and want to be heard. We've got a platform that we can use and allow others to use that as well and support those people that have supported us. And that's not just our customers, but our team members too.
That's cool. And it seems, I know I'm dwelling on this, but it seems like there's certain neighborhoods, there's certain locations within a community that will support exactly what you're doing. And there are others that wouldn't. And it's not about income, is it?
No, I wouldn't say that at all. Again, I think it's about trying to connect with those people on an everyday basis, which I think, you know, the pizza business is so cool because everybody's coming in. You can, whether you're going to them for delivery or they're coming in to stop through and get a slice of pizza.
Cool. All right. You mentioned delivery, and I'm going to change subject because I'm really always been curious, like, how much of your business is eating in the restaurant, takeout, and delivery? How do you divide that?
That depends on when you're asking, what time frame, because pre-pandemic.
If it's during a football game, well, that too, but if it's during a football game.
Absolutely. So this past weekend, with the Broncos playing on Saturday, we did quite a bit in delivery. Also, that landscape changed, you know, from 2020 to now, right? A lot more people getting delivery. They like that convenience. Third parties have come through. So
what, give me an overview. Or give, you know, so help us understand.
Majority of our business is still through delivery, especially if you include the third-party delivery in that as well.
Yeah, got it. All right, changing subject because I'm still interested in the business of pizza. But you mentioned some of your managers, a regional manager, even you started as a delivery person. But like, you seem like a nice guy, grounded guy. I mean, in an environment where it seems like you encourage people to be themselves and you want people to be comfortable working. Like, how can you be the boss, the owner? Like, is that a hard balance to hit?
Absolutely it can be. On one aspect, looking out for the best interest of the business, but also understanding that it's important to connect with the team, with all levels of team members. And kind of playing that balancing act. But what helps is putting systems in place, having checklists, having those set expectations, not just in the moment, but people can reference those and go back to them. So they know on the front end, hey, this is what me and my team are expected to do.
And you can do that with just 4 restaurants?
Oh, I can't do it by myself.
Right, but I mean, you actually have like systems and—
Absolutely.
Because I did see when I went to Sexy Pizza and we ordered a pizza, I did see that the guy making it was carefully measuring quickly, really quickly, but carefully measuring everything that went on there.
Absolutely. Arbaccio cheese is white gold to us. It's very expensive and we use a lot of it, right? So it's very important for us to manage our costs appropriately, right? So the best way to do that is to especially weigh it every single time. Mm-hmm. So what you saw is our team member weighing the cheese to make sure they're putting the appropriate amount on.
Although sometimes in the past when I've been at other places, when they were weighing it, they seemed like they were not putting very much on. In your case, like that wasn't the case.
I'm glad you think so. I appreciate that. but again, you have 3 aspects to pizza: dough, sauce, cheese, and all of them are equally important. Some
and
people
toppings.
Argue, absolutely. But to just a cheese pizza, because again, if you can't make a cheese pizza, the rest of the toppings don't really matter.
We
right?
talked about this as you walked in, because listeners, you don't know this, but Kyle brought a large cheese pizza in with him. I said, "There's no toppings," and you said,
"If you can't make a cheese pizza, you have no business making pizza at all."
Yes, and so that's an interesting thing. Is that true across the board?
I would say in general. I mean, I don't want to speak for everyone. I focus on what we do best. But in our world, in our pizza, absolutely. Because that is the base for almost, you know, all of our pizzas.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I want to give a shout out. You already mentioned your cheese provider, Baccio. And originally, this was supposed to be an interview with them. And they deferred, and not wanting to draw attention to themselves, they wanted to feature one of their customers. What's your take on that?
Baccio has been great to us. It's a quality product. We didn't start with Baccio. That wasn't our first, you know, cheese that, you know, when we were in the beginning stages back in the one location at Cap Hill. But we found them through blind taste test, wanting to stay work with local companies like Polidori Sausage and Leprino and Baccio Cheese. Because again, that sense of community and being able to communicate and work with those people face to face is important.
Yeah. But I mean, that kind of relationship where, you know, someone who you buy from cares more about you than their own promotion. I mean, is that just the way you guys are all working in this world?
I mean, I think as you've kind of understood so far, that's how we like to think about our customers. I mean, they're the ones that are helping us and taking care of us, right? And Baccio, I think, thinks the same way. So they're able to take care of us. They've got a great rewards program, cash back for every pound of cheese that we purchase. But on top of that, though, they give us reward dollars so we can do print marketing. We can buy delivery bags for our deliveries when inevitably they're going to, you know, fray and we need some new ones. Mm-hmm. The Velcro doesn't work, and because we want to make sure your pizza's hot when we get there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So all of these things, and then, you know, finding, they helped us identify a piece of equipment and help secure that piece of equipment that's just vital for the efficiencies of our business. Hmm. So those things like that, I mean, the cash back program is something you don't find anywhere else in the industry.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. And it sounds like they've helped you be more successful.
I mean, absolutely. I'm just talking about, you know, these very easy things that you can kind of grasp onto.
Yeah.
But I think additionally too, like they offered me an opportunity to sit here and talk to you, right?
Yeah, that's cool.
But their social media marketing team, connecting with us, trying to promote us, they've just been a great partner, and they want to help grow our business.
That's a nice example though of how, you know, any of us selling something can enhance a relationship by like doing it different. I think it's cool. All right, talk about growth. You got four locations. What's the plan?
We would love to continue to grow. Here in the current Denver market, Front Range here in Colorado, it's pretty difficult. A lot of more restaurants closing than maybe opening at this time.
Yeah.
I think that that's no secret. So, you know, we want to be calculated in our moves. In the past, we've grown more organically. With our Jefferson Park location, this is a funny story. We had looked in that area about a year prior to securing a lease. We came back a year later, toured the space we're currently in, and signed a handwritten lease with our landlord that day because it felt right.
Huh.
These days, maybe it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
It doesn't quite. But we would like to continue, whether it's with our four locations and continue to expand the opportunity for people to eat our pizza and create more jobs and all these things. But if that also means we're able to expand in further locations, awesome. We're just going to kind of take it day by day.
Well, that leads to a question that it confounds me. And that has to do with one pizza chain or one pizza joint, two, three. At what point does it become a chain? And less sexy because it's a chain.
Right? I've wondered that myself, and I don't know how to answer that. We used to fight back against the word, you know, chain pizza. I've realized, you know, as I've gotten, you know, older in this business, that people just identify, you know, it differently. We're still an independent pizzeria. There isn't different owners. We're not a franchise. Four locations. So the team works very well together. We have team members that can float between all locations and help each other out. They want to pick up hours, cover a shift at this location and not their home location. So we have those opportunities. So I would say that takes us out of what maybe people typically think of a chain pizza.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Again, I think that's all kind of up for discussion and doesn't really matter.
But it kind of does matter in my mind because at some point, like going to Sexy Pizza, you feel like I'm a devotee. I'm a, like, they're my pizza place. It's the place I prefer. It's something special. I almost identify with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And once there are too many, well, I don't know what that number is. If it's 5 or if it's 100, I don't know. I think it's less than 100. But at some point, like, it's just not as engaging with me. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it.
Well, I wonder too is if we were continue to grow, and then we weren't involved in our communities to say the same way we are now. Does that take away from it? But what if there's 50 of them, but each one of them are extremely involved in their communities, continue to support their team? Does that change how you look at things? Does it change how you feel about it?
Yeah, it does. Not completely. Because there's something intriguing about discovering or owning a smaller something than a bigger anything when it comes to restaurants, I think.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think that's a challenge that you and anybody in your space has. I don't know.
It's a great question. And I don't know how to answer it. I don't know what that number is.
That's fair. And, you know, funny that you mentioned number. I have observed that some restaurants will put a number after their deal, like this is the such and such number 1 or such and such number 8. And I don't know, for some reason there seems to be a bit of an, I don't know, just crazy thought. There's like an identity that makes it different. I don't know.
Identify ours by the neighborhood. So Sexy Pizza Uptown, Sexy Pizza South Pearl, Sexy Pizza Jefferson Park.
And you think that helps?
I think it does. Well, we also need it too, so people know which location they ordered from.
Fair enough.
Yep. And now that we have two locations on Pearl Street, we've got to be extra careful about that.
Wow. Yeah, you do. All right. Some last questions. And you're based in Colorado, obviously. All of your locations are in Denver. But like, you must know pizza people all over the country at this point. So what's your sense for being here versus maybe what you might experience with this sexy pizza model somewhere else?
Well, having never operated a business outside of Colorado,
yeah, but you know people.
Totally. It's, I think that we're, you know, in difficult times here in Denver as far as the restaurant industry is concerned. I think it's important to focus on our margins and our costs, and but also kind of expanding our perspective on how we can do things better. It's a difficult question and compared to other markets, for sure. I think it just kind of depends on, again, how you connect with your team and your people.
That's cool. You were one of the founding recipe makers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So two questions about that. One is, like, what was the difference between what you ended up with and what you started with as far as recipe stuff that consumers might be able to relate to?
I mean, it's always been subtle changes. It's never been this big undertaking of where we're going to just completely revamp things, right? Because making the dough has always been the same process. We've just refined it. We've gone to the International Pizza Expo in Las Vegas and met a bunch of awesome people that you're kind of mentioning. But they're going to seminars to understand the appropriate moisture content, the ratio that you need for the type of dough that we're trying to accomplish, right? To really perfecting that. Again, blind taste tests, because thinking about how our customers are going to perceive our product, like, you know, that's who we're really making it for.
What do you wish you knew when you think back all the way back to when you were making your first, what do you wish you knew then that you know now?
So much I couldn't put into words. I mean, it depends on the more specific question. Is it about pizza and how we make the pizza? Is it about, you know, this, you know, the science behind it? Or is it about running the business and operating multiple locations? So I think it, all of these things, right?
Yeah. Pick an example of something that would have changed your life had you known it earlier rather than now.
I think that, you know, something that everyone can relate to is really just how's the systematic approach that you have to take. We didn't, and maybe this goes back to what you saw when you were at South Pearl. We weren't weighing cheese for every single pizza in the beginning. But you start looking at your costs, your margins there, you know, what you purchase versus what you're actually using, and really take a systematic approach to it. So I think that really putting those systems into place and understanding how to keep it consistent from the very beginning would have allowed us to be that much better early on.
Oh, cool. So you still seem excited about the business.
Oh, absolutely. I'm thrilled about it. It went from making pizzas every day, all day, every day, to now running a business, four locations, and all this just different perspective that I have that I didn't have a long time ago.
Is it as fun when you're managing stuff as when you were just making pizzas and hoping they're good?
That depends on the day and the challenges that arise. Sometimes I find myself in a position now where I'm putting out fires. You know, if a piece of equipment breaks down, it's like, we need to get this fixed. Or, you know, a walk-in cooler might go down. Okay, well, we got to make sure that we transfer that product before it goes out. All of these different things, right? And sometimes I wish, man, it'd be nice just to be able to make some pizza again.
Yeah.
But that's not where we're at, though. And if I were to do that, then I feel like I'd be letting people down on the other side of things by just managing the business. So I'm always excited about all of this all of the time. And I think most of that comes from the fact that I have a wonderful team that seems to be just as excited as I am most of the time. So
yeah. Do you still make pizza once in a while?
I do. We were doing some testing today, and I did just earlier today.
Good for you. Yeah. Was it a good one?
Oh, absolutely. Oh. Yes. Uh-huh. They're always good. No, trying different flavor profiles and combinations and whatnot is always fun.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Let's wrap up on that. I'm your host, Dave Tabor, and today on ProCo 360, you've been listening to my conversation with Kyle Peters, who is the co-owner of Sexy Pizza. Kyle, great having you on ProCo 360.
Dave, thanks for having me.
Yeah, and going to go have some pizza in a minute. And hey, I want to also thank Jen Lester of Philosophy Communications, who in a roundabout way, we talked about that, connected me with Kyle. Listeners, glad you're here on ProCo 360, where we say live, work, love Colorado, because you and I and my guests can be successful anywhere and choose Colorado. You make the show successful by subscribing to the ProCo 360 podcast. If you haven't yet, it's a huge help if you submit a review in your app. Thanks again to show sponsors Denver Ventures and Via Technologies. That's the show. Live, work, love Colorado. And that's that.
Eat pizza.
Eat pizza. Your pizza is really good.
Thank you. Yeah. I really appreciate that. Yeah, people say that, but I can feel the genuineness in your statements. So, thank you.
And by the way, I was going to ask you this, and like if you go to that Las Vegas play show and you're tasting pizza, like does everyone agree on what's the great pizza?
Absolutely not.
No.
No way. And they're never going to agree. My wife's family is from Manhattan. My mother-in-law's family is from Manhattan. So, you know, obviously I understand that. So I don't want to say anything negative about the East Coast pizza culture, right? But they are very particular, if you may, right? And they may, some of them may say Detroit style is not an actual style of pizza. But go to Detroit and try to argue with that, right?
Yeah.
Nobody's ever going to agree, but I think that's what's fun about pizza, though. I mean, honestly, you have an opportunity to talk to a bunch of different people that have, all these different perspectives. And that's why when you asked me earlier, like, well, different markets and this and that, it's like, but it's so different everywhere, right? So yeah, it's fun.